How's it going? And welcome to episode 459 of On the Corner, the official podcast of PitcherList.com. I am your host today, Adam Howe, and I am joined, as always, by the one, the only, Nicholas Pollock. Nick, how are we doing?
What is happening? No one calls me that. I've never liked the name Nicholas. It just seems too pretentious. I don't know. I'm so sorry if there's someone actually goes by Nicholas right now. That's a choice of yourself. It's just for me.
But it is your official name on your birth certificate, what? Nicholas.
It's just Nicholas, you know? You know, my middle name, Nicholas Brabram Pollock, is like, it's very like regal and whatnot. And yes, I'm going to keep my actual middle name to myself.
We'll keep the blue. We'll put the
blue. It's not Peter. You know, that was a myth spread by Jordan White and Chris Webber. It's not true. I'm not Nicholas Peter Pollock. Okay.
One can dream, though. One can.
It's, you know, a much better middle name.
It's in other people's headcanon. And it's, you know, yeah. It's, enough people believe it, it becomes true. I believe that's how it works.
Much more regal of a name. But Adam, thank you so much for being here. Eric Samulski, I unfortunately had to skip this week. He just has too much going on. I mean, he's a very busy man.
Of course.
And the fact that he even does OTC in the first place is incredible. Of course, he's still sending me like tweets at 6 p.m. and 6:30.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
You know, but Eric couldn't make it tonight. Felt really bad about it. Adam stepped in last minute because Adam is amazing. And Adam, just so happy to have you hosting tonight.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's good to be behind the mic of a different show. Of course, you can listen to me on the Wire on Sundays as we do Fab every week in conjunction with the SP Fab forecast that you do for the PL Pro members.
Which I haven't gotten a text actually recently.
No, well, here's the rub. We've been having to record on Friday nights, so we are doing things a little earlier. So I will get a little preview from you moving forward as well. So,
Yeah, well, I mean, the SP Fab forecast has been coming out Fridays for PL Pro members. Mm-hmm. I think the most helpful part of it, I mean, yes, I go over like all the starters for your 12 teamers and 15 teamers, but I do a full sit and start and a two start ranking.
Yeah.
For the week, which is kind of wild. And I actually reference it for myself just during the week. It feels weird to have anything behind like a paywall, but I feel that because it's not my writing or anything, it's tools. And I feel like anything that's a tool is what we can do there. All article content, all that kind of stuff is free on the site because that's just an ethos of PitcherList and all. But speaking of content, we've got the big boy. I spent so long today on this one. I literally put it out like 8:30 p.m. I just kept going. And I think I wrote the longest notes that I have the entire year. And of course, no one's going to read them. They never do.
You got to read the notes.
Four times I put read the notes inside of this pod, inside this article. And it's okay. It's all right. But did you read the notes, Adam?
Of course not. No.
Yeah, of course. We know this. But I
just want the list. Yeah. That's why it's called the list.
But do you have a name?
Yeah. So okay, I'm going to take one out of Eric's playbook. You know, as Eric always does, he talks about what's happening around in his real life. Mm-hmm. What's happening in my real life right now is me having to manage my 8-year-old daughter as she is on spring break or summer break, excuse me, which is not something I've had to deal with in the past so far. And she's doing a really good job of keeping herself busy. So my thought to you, my question to you for each one of these tiers is the ways that you kept yourself busy during summer break, whether it's family vacations or going to the beach or trips or just getting out and riding your bike, whatever the case may be, whatever you did on your summer breaks growing up. Preferably as an 8-year-old child, if you can remember that far back, that would go a long way to not only giving a theme to this episode, but also giving me some thoughts about what I can do with my daughter as she takes up all the time in the world.
So this is the theme of the tiers, correct?
Oh, yes, of course.
Now, of course, Eric would also have a name of the list, like an official name. I would always yell at him. I still do, about it not being about the actual guy because it's Crochet today. Crochet is the featured one because he got his aces gonna ace. Well deserved. I think anyone that has roster Crochet, certainly not me because I was totally out initially and I regret it immensely. But he has a name for the list. Do you have a name?
Oh, I don't have a name today. I am not Eric.
Adam, because I figured you were surprised. And then now you're like, oh, wait, a name? I stalled so long.
You did. I was not ready even for the stall. So we're going nameless. There we go. It's the nameless list of the week. I know that's very unoriginal.
It's moving pictures because it's in, as my friend would say, white and black.
Okay, there we go.
Right, they don't say black and white films. They say white and black, which is the greatest thing ever. So this is the moving pictures because it's picture perfect moving baseballs. Okay, you know what, Adam? This is what I do for you.
No, just keep going.
This is what I do for Adam Howe. Adam Howe, if you guys don't know, is the director of podcasts here at PitcherList. He edits our shows. He oversees the entire network. Obviously, does On the Wire. It's just, we are so unbelievably lucky to have Adam here, and it's just nice to interact with him again. You know, so hi, Adam.
Hi. How are you? Yeah, it's nice to be in front of the mic instead of just behind the mic.
Right.
For this show in particular. But you know what? We have a lot of to steal another former host Thunder. Got a lot of movers and shakers.
Oh my gosh.
In the list here. So can we get to it?
This is what let's do it.
All right, top list, top tier here. It's a big one. I'm used to reading the list and seeing like one, two, maybe three at the top. Mm. We got 10. We got 10 members of the top list here. Starting off with number one, Zach Wheeler. Number two, Tyler Glasnow. Number three, Tarek Skubal. Number four, Chris Sale. Five is Corbin Burns. Six is Luis Castillo. Seven, Shota Imanaga. Eight, Mr. Cole Reagans. Nine, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And 10 is Max Fried, closing out tier one. What is the name of this tier and why is it called that?
All right. So this is summer activities. Is that right?
Summer activities that you wouldn't be able to do during the school year to keep yourself busy.
Okay. 100%. The thing that I looked forward to the most about summer vacation is doing nothing. It's just doing nothing. If there, I remember this distinctly. It would be vacation coming up. So what are you looking forward to doing? I said, doing nothing.
Absolutely.
That feeling of just, I don't have to be somewhere. I don't have to get this paper done. I don't let me just live and choose my own destiny for a moment, you know? And there is that feeling. I'm not saying that you don't want a purpose in everything like that. Purpose is everything, but you gotta have those pockets of time, even as an adult, just to do nothing. And tier one, you don't need to do anything with these pictures.
There it is.
You do nothing.
It's nice because there weren't a lot of movers and shakers here, but we did see Tarek Skubal move up a couple spots. So what was there anything worth noting about Skubal? I get it. This whole tier, you don't have to do anything with these guys. You're going to start them every single game. This is tier one. But why Skubal moving up over the other guys in the same tier?
Yeah, he had this really weird start against the Royals. I think it was about a callus on his finger. And I was just kind of curious if that was the full excuse of it last week. And then he came back. Yep, totally fine. 8 strikeouts, 7 innings against Pittsburgh. Looked phenomenal. And yeah, Tarek Skubal is amazing. It's pretty straightforward. He is amazing. And when it comes to Sale, Burns, etc., Castillo, all of those guys, it's just I needed to see that Skubal was still amazing. And he is. I don't need to quote on the numbers, but my favorite one is striker. 60% strike minus ICR rate, which is second best among all starting pitchers. Yeah, he throws a lot of strikes and limits hard contact. That's exactly what you want to see. So, Tarek Skubal.
Sure. Not a lot of other movers in this tier, so we're going to move right on to tier two, made up of the next 10 pitchers on the list, starting off with Joe Ryan, followed by Aaron Nola, Freddie Peralta, Paul Skeens at number 14, Garrett Crochet, Jared Jones, Kyle Bradish, Kevin Gausman, Sonny Gray, and then finally Logan Webb closing it out at number 20. We got one big mover here, but before we get to that, I need to know the name of the tier and why it's called that.
Man, you know, I give, oh my gosh, you saved yourself barely. Like you were gonna leave, and then you had that toe still in between the door frame to stop it because you forgot your keys. Okay. You just got back in time. This one is going to be just going outside. Just again, anywhere. It's like it has to do with doing nothing, but there's just something about like it's the summer. I'm going outside because my friends are there, and that's it. You know, there's doing nothing at home, but there's going outside and with friends and everything, which again is just it's always there. It's your friends. It's people just, you know.
It's a beautiful summer activity because you can't winter break. That's not normally the thing.
It's a prison.
A rainy day, a it's snow a
prison
day.
Prison in the winter.
Yeah,
I hate the winter. It's horrible. It's the worst.
What are you going to do? Unless you live on a golf course with a big hill or something, but even then, nobody.
I legitimately understand why like everyone moves to Florida or something like that. I get it because I mean, I think about this myself. It's just like in the winter, I don't want to be
where you are,
you know, where I am often. I mean, I do because that's where everything is in my life, but like, why does it have to just be so cold all the time?
So in the summertime, you go outside. What is it about this tier that made you think about that aspect of
well, summertime? You know, you're going out and sometimes you don't, you know, you might encounter things you don't like, right? It's a little different than like doing nothing at home. It's just like, it's always there. You got it. Do nothing. Like
mosquitoes.
But this is sometimes, you know, it feels like an exciting adventure every single time, but then you're going to get Kevin Gausman allowed 600 runs tonight against the Orioles. And that was, oh gosh. And everyone was like, Nick, are you sure you want to be an auto star? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Like, are you sure, Nick? I'm like, yeah, it's totally fine. Oh gosh. I already have that graphic submitted for, gauze bandages.
Oh,
And you know, it's Jared Jones is in here too, who obviously has not been as amazing of an ace lately, but the thing is, you look at that game against Detroit where he had no whiffs on his four-seamer, then you watch it and you go, how did he not get any whiffs on his four-seamer?
That was, yeah.
It was strange because the stuff across the board was good. The locations were good. I there are two thoughts. One is is tipping, honestly. And two, it's tipping. So I don't, I mean, it's really, I think that Jaron Jones's skills are just still so good. At the same time, I understand that all of us are going to be starting Skeens over Jones right now. So fine, Skeens goes above, he gets aces and ace, and there's Garrett Crochet, who's just been, again, stellar. He had his moment of adversity of three bad outings. And what's so funny, I was so out, Adam. Do you remember this? I was so out on Garrett Crochet.
Completely out. Yeah.
First start, I was like, no, I don't know if I really believe this, but this is kind of nuts. So like, yeah, I guess Adam, but like, I don't know. He has a terrible next start, and it just feels so strange.
On the White Sox, it's not helping.
The whole thing is just so weird. But, you know, I said fine, but also like I'm not really aggressively going for it. Second, and I think by the third start, I was like, all right, fine. Okay, I get this. You know, like he had Detroit the first start, and I was like, well, he's not going to do it against Atlanta. Atlanta, he dominated. I was like, okay, fine. All right. Did okay the third one. And then he had a stretch of Cincinnati, Phillies, and Minnesota. This was Garrett Crochet, where collectively he allowed 17 earned runs in those three games. And I remember everyone jumping off. And this is always so funny to me, is when I actually start getting in on a guy in some way, oftentimes then, you know, as it goes, they start doing poorly. And there's this feeling of, oh no, I got in the wrong time. I got out of the wrong time. I'm not doing anything right. But instead of just saying, well, I guess I'm just going to leave because I was in the first place, it's like, no, I got in for a certain reason. The reason was that his cutter was coming more of a thing. And at the time, he was originally a fastball slider. I didn't trust the slider as a strike pitch, but I started to trust the cutter as a strike pitch. And I saw the Cincinnati and Phillies one, and I really thought that was just bad luck. The Minnesota one was weird. It was fastball cutter, but they were on it. And then he showed up in the next one, same opponent, Minnesota, but then showed up with a change up to nullify, and I went, oh, he's got it, he's here, he's arrived. And since then, Garrett Crochet has allowed collectively 400 runs in six games. It's pretty dang awesome. He's also faced generally opponents, but he went against Baltimore and had 11 strikeouts in six innings as a lefty in 200 runs. yeah, Garrett Crochet hath arrived, and it's pretty amazing, honestly, that the guy has like a, what is it, 15% swing strike rate overall right now, 15.5, 31% CSW. PLV overall is 530, which is phenomenal. And guess what? Striker, 56%, actually 57% striker, sixth best in all of baseball. So yeah, Garrett Crochet is pretty good.
Yeah, we got a lot of young guys in this tier, at least just between Skeens, Crochet, and Jones, back to back to back here. I'm looking really far ahead. I'm thinking head-to-head style leagues. We're talking late August, September.
Don't do this. Don't do this.
Well, like, how much does that play? Like,
don't do this. Okay, look back at previous league years, okay, Adam? I hear this constantly, and yes, we actually generally have an article that comes out at the beginning of July, or like mid-July or so. Mm-hmm. It says, look, these are all of the potential shutdowns. Now, this is how I handle head-to-head leagues. One, you have to get there first.
Sure.
You have to completely, like, are you really going to do anything differently because Garrett Crochet could potentially not be pitching in September, right? Like, you can't. Are you just trade him away now? Well, for what? They're going to have any sort of question marks too, right? There's no guarantee that they will perform. Second, you could have guys who are starting in September, but every single person here who has played in a head-to-head league playoff will tell you, you could have the studs. And what will they do?
Just stop playing. Or
they'll be terrible. Or, anything. Yes. Or they'll like, they'll anything in the studs and be like, you know what? I'm going to go four innings today. Right? Or they're just not going to be as good. Or they're going to go to 75 pitches because they want to be reserved for the playoffs or whatever it is. Or they get fatigued and they aren't as good. Right? September, people try to act as if September is only bad for those who get shut down. And what happens is it's complete wild card. You can give yourself the highest percentages you want, but it's still a complete crapshoot of if your pitchers are going to show up or not. So even with Garrett Crochet, we don't know if he's going to get shut down or not. The White Sox started him on opening day. Like, they are completely doing this reckless abandon, and I who knows? Maybe there's a 2-week injury that he has in August. You know, that right, 2-week as Adam air quotes that, right? That then stalls him. I mean, it's kind of rare, honestly, for any pitcher not to have some sort of injury stint for like 2 weeks or so these days. Like, it's common, we say 28 to 30 starts. Why? Because there's some pause. If there's some pause, then Crochet's there in September, right? Not to mention, your head-to-head leagues normally are not the last week of the season. You end 1 week early. Sure, if yours extra 1 week stuff, that's even more chaos. I can't even help you there, okay? But what I'm getting at is trying to predict those 3 weeks of September, absolutely impossible. The best thing, if you really want to do something, is fine. Tell me the teams that have absolute gauntlets of schedules then. Like, who we know are going to be the toughest and toughest of offenses. Maybe you'll find one team that is either so, like, it's going to be the Yankees, it's going to be the Dodgers, it's going to be the Astros, whatever, right? Maybe there's a team that's like, we know it's going to be the Nationals and we know it's going to be the Athletics and the Marlins or whatever. Fine. Maybe you can find that. But when it comes to us in June trying to plan for September head-to-head playoffs, stop doing this. Just stop overthinking about shutdowns. Stop overthinking about it, because you got to get there first. Okay? And then we'll figure it out. Trust me, I have literally won a league just streaming and having like two pitchers the entire time. You can do that. All right? If worse comes to worse, if this one guy isn't there, we can figure it out. Okay? This is the Luis Gil thing all over again, Adam.
It almost makes me want to just trade out all my pitchers for hitters in
this
season.
This is what I do. Then you this is what I do. So I can't this year, Adam. It's driving me up the wall. I get it because there are a lot of really good pitchers and the home run, dead end ball, and all that kind of stuff. And like, there are fewer like elite hitters. There's only like 25 of them or something now. And it stinks because I need more of them and no one will give them to me.
Just give them all to me.
I have all the fun guys. Who do you want? Nah, I hate it. Right. I hate it.
Well, I'm sure I'll get another rant out of you at some point during during the show. But we need to move on to tier three, and we are going to do that after this quick break. All right, we got the third tier here. Still a big tier, 11 guys on this tier. Starting off, Grayson Rodriguez at 21, George Kirby 22, Pablo Lopez, Mackenzie Gore, Jack Flaherty, Tanner Houck at 26, Ranger Suarez, Logan Gilbert, Dylan Cease, Luis Gil, and Ryan Pepiot at 31, rounding out tier three. What is this summer activity to keep you busy, and why is it called that?
This is swimming. Swimming's the best, man. Swimming's so good. The thing is, though, sometimes you go swimming and, you know, it's just, there's just not enough to do. You know what I mean? Like, if it's got a dock, we win. We're great. We got a dock. Beautiful. We got this. We're all set. But sometimes you go and it's just like, oh, you didn't bring a ball. You didn't bring a this. You know, you try and make some silly games or something. Someone doesn't want me to play Marco Polo. It's just like, oh, then you're just cold. And, you know, it's not always quite there, but you know the potentials. Oh, you know the potential of the pond. Great pond. It's the best pond ever. And those who know Great Pond, they go, wait, I know Great Pond. I'm like, I know. That's the good one. That pond, that's the good. Oh gosh. If you know Great Pond, there's a reason why it's called Great Pond. It's not because it's massive. No, no, no. It's because it's great. It's great. It's great.
So who's the Great Pond in this tier?
I mean, I guess it'd be 21 because he's the highest one. I don't know. Okay. it's not Mackenzie Gore. Even though he went up five here, I expected better things against the Mets today, and he got trounced. First game of the year above 300 runs against the Mets.
Yeah.
You want to know how that happened? Because his bullpen came in and he couldn't get out of the inning himself and inherited runs, scored the last two. But still,
can't rely on anybody in these days.
Nobody anymore. Relievers are like kickers, let me tell you. Oh gosh. But no, who jumps out to you most here, Adam?
I mean, at the bottom of the tier, of course, Luis Gil moving up 11 spots. You can't, in Ryan Pepiot going up 13, you can't just say that's because you have guys leaving the list due to injuries, Zach Gallen's of the world, stuff like that. This is double digit movers and shakers here.
Well, I mean, you know how I construct the list, right? So what is tier four here, Adam? What do we got?
No, we got some, another big list, but we have
no. Just what kind? Not the players. What kind of players are they?
Well, they're just full of hollies,
right? Is Luis Gil or Ryan Pepiot a holly?
They are not,
right? So I have to put them in either tier three or tier five.
You got to split them there, yeah.
Right, and this is could be what you call an inherent problem of the list. You could, I totally understand if some people get upset by it, and I could have maybe split this around like Seth Lugo. And done another tier in between in tier four and maybe put up someone else. But honestly, the way I see it is Luis Gil and Ryan Pepiot are on the track to being legitimate aces. I trust them a lot right now. Ryan Pepiot, it might seem weird because he hasn't really excelled a ton lately. That's because he got hurt. He was pitching, got hurt, left the game, came back and a couple weeks later in May. Obviously was limited, wasn't himself. Then he just had one start with 7 Ks and great secondaries, and four-seamer wasn't as polished, but it's still an amazing stuff four-seamer, and we saw the command before earlier in the season. And then it just gets better, and it's kind of the case of like, yeah, it's about this point moving forward, and I think after this start, it's just going to be great Ryan Pepiot. Then you have Luis Gil, who is throwing strikes. If you've been following me in the SP Roundup, which you should, that is, the list is whatever. Just read the roundups, okay? You don't need to bother with the list. Just read the roundup every day. Luis Gil essentially had his strike rates go up, I want to say, by the end of April. And the starts weren't quite coming together, but the strikes were. And it felt as if it was a matter of time with Gil at that point. And he's just been soaring since he made adjustments with his four-seamer to get it more in the zone. The changeup is coming through a lot. Even the slider actually even has another gear, I think, to hit. So Luis Gil does have a challenge this week. I'm excited for it. It's the Twins and then the Dodgers. I really think that Luis Gil is going to come through in both. So I'm excited about it. And I think both of them are on the track to be aces.
The other pair I want to hear you talk about a little bit more is just the idea of George Kirby and Logan Gilbert. To me, as I follow the list and I follow the rankings of these two guys, they're like two North Pole on magnets.
It's unbelievable.
You just keep coming together and then they keep getting bounced apart. And yeah. Right now, obviously, Gilbert down at 28, Kirby in 22, same tier, but they really just kind of fluctuate a whole lot.
Yeah, they're known as Jerby.
Right.
And they used to be separate and then together and separate. So right now it's kind of separate. Logan Gilbert was an ace and his last four starts have just been like not that. The cutter has gone away for Logan Gilbert. That's a problem. While George Kirby finally, Adam, this is like one of the joys. It's one of the joys of what I do. Okay. Is when you write the roundup every night, I have a generalized understanding of what approaches are, what these guys do. You give me a name, I'll tell you exactly what their approach is. Right. And George Kirby is, George Kirby's been doing this whole four seamer thing. He's been doing it since last year. If you talk to me in the winter and you saw my preseason thing on Kirby, what is it? Oh, four seamers again, hit too hard, buddy. And you're not getting them out of the zone at all. You have a 10% O swing on this. It's like a first percentile four seamer. What the heck is going on? Oh, right. You're throwing them just in the zone too much. Mm-hmm. You're just letting them hit this thing with a high ICR. So maybe George Kirby, don't do that. Maybe you have such a good command, don't do that. And then, yeah, you developed a slider in 2023, Kirby. So we think that that's going to be a good whiff pitch for you and just really consistent. And what have we seen this year? It's been a lot of, I mean, we had like one game of 17 whiffs with a four-seamer, which was kind of hilarious. I mean, kind of did the old thing, but like they just couldn't hit the four-seamer upstairs. However, most of the time, he didn't have any of the secondaries to really play off of it. Sometimes the splitter was, hey, I'm a splitter, but it was not having sliders down in glove side and all that stuff. So what does Kirby do finally after a really bad start? He says, all right, fine. I'm going to try something new. He decides to save his four-seamer for out of the zone, believe it or not. He uses a sinker up, which is really good, actually. Eno's just getting excited hearing high sinkers. And then his slider was actually down in glove side. And he killed it. He didn't walk a single batter, even though he threw these four-seams out of the zone. Didn't walk a single batter. Oh, George. And this is the funny thing, too, is like I've seen guys do this before and then they just revert to the old self after. Like, okay, that's just a fun one-off. That's not going to happen again. Let me go to the thing that wasn't working. So I really hope that George Kirby continues that. And if he does for like another start, honestly, I might just put him into Aces Gonna Ace after one more game of doing exactly that as a kind of sign of like, yes, this is what I'm doing now. And I really hope he does it.
Yeah, you just need that confirmation. You know, he's going to do it more than just the one time. All right. So, I mean, I feel like we heard a lot of this about like Shane Bieber when he was, you know, in his prime and whatnot. He's like, he just would not throw any balls at all. Like he wasn't walking anybody, but he just kept everything in the zone. So, I mean, is that same kind of fear for Kirby moving forward as well, kind of continuing moving on in that trajectory?
Right. You can't just throw only strikes if those are that's not a good striker because you're going to allow too much hard contact and your hit rate's going to be too high. And that's going to allow more runs, even though you have a good whip, it's going to allow more runs. Right. So it's just I think that he's figuring it out as he goes. And a guy like Kirby, too, is one of those guys who he will figure things out. His command is just generally good and his stuff is good enough and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to say stuff a lot more. As he develops, I think Kirby has a much larger canvas to build upon than others.
All right. Well, I want to make the mistake of not giving you the opportunity to talk about anybody else in this tier that interests you before moving on to tier four. So is there anybody else in this tier that you want to focus on?
I mean, Jack Flaherty and Tanner Houck are guys that I feel people want me to give Aces Gonna Ace to. I do have to highlight that Tanner Houck has had the easiest schedule. It's really remarkable how easy that schedule has been. I wonder if he's going to come through, not next start because it's the White Sox. He's going to, I believe, get the Phillies or is it the Yankees? One of the two after that. And that's going to be the start where I'm actually going to assess Houck a bit. If he comes through there, then you become an ace. I think in most cases, you don't become an Aces Gonna Ace until you showcase that you can actually take down a good opponent. Because that's really the heart of Aces Gonna Ace is doesn't matter who you're facing, you start them. That's why Kevin Gausman was still an auto start for me because he had the AGA label. And I'm obviously going to remove that next week.
Spoiler.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And Jack Flaherty, it was an interesting start last time. I think about this a lot. I talk about strike rates in games and how you need to have 60% or higher really for your secondaries for it to be good. That said, like being at 60% or being at 50% sometimes is just two breaking balls or so. And Flaherty was actually like sub 50% barely. I think it was 16 over 31 on his slider. in his most recent start. And it's weird because Flaherty's actually been so good at just every single time that slider goes in the same spot. And to see any sort of crack in the armor is kind of okay. Like, that's just that, though, right? We're going to repair that. That's fine. I don't want to see that at all. So I hope we see some redemption from Jack Flaherty there.
Nice. All right. Well, as we alluded to earlier, this is tier 4, full of hollies. And if you don't know what that is, I don't know what you're listening to at this point. But we're going to list those off right here. We got 14, 12. I don't know, do math.
13.
You can count as I list them off here. Starting off with number 32, Framber Valdez, followed by Justin Steele, Raniel Blanco, Jesus Luzardo, Bailey Ober, Nick Pivetta at 37, Seth Lugo, Justin Verlander, Carlos Rodon, Nathan Eovaldi, Michael King, Ronaldo Lopez, and rounding it out at 44, Mr. Rhys Olsen. What is the name of this summer activity and why is it called that?
This is clearly going to camp. I mean, that's just stable. You know, you send them to camp.
Now, is this a camp that you're there all summer long, overnight camp, or is this day camp?
One month sleepaway camp.
Sleepaway camp. Okay.
I went to Camp Beckett. I was a counselor there. Wonderful camp. It taught morals. We had 8 mottos at Camp Beckett. It's just dependable. You know, it's always there. You can always go back. You'll never forget it. And yeah, they're there for you. So Camp Beckett.
Nice. I never went to a sleepaway camp, but I did. I went to day camp. I went to a day camp and I realized now looking back, all it was school. I took a bus.
No,
went to the camp and it was fun. I remember having fun. And I took a school bus back home, but I realized this was just my parents' way of not having me in the house for a whole day.
But what did you learn?
Yeah, there were arts and crafts. There was a pool. There was, you know, activities.
But it wasn't like social studies.
Oh, no, no, it wasn't. I just meant it was a replacement for school.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I went to day camp at my school for a bit before I went to sleepaway camp.
Okay.
And I was actually a counselor there when I was like 16 or something for the summer when I had to not go to my sleepaway camp, but I had to stay back and play baseball.
Yeah.
I hated that. And I wanted to go to my camp. I remember that. It's like, we just need to get out of the house, man.
All right. Man. Well, why, who in this tier stands out to you as the camper, as the one who is, you know, always excited to go to camp?
Well, I decided to do something interesting, which some people might get upset by, which is I put Framber Valdez, Justin Steele, and Bailey Ober kind of, and Ronald Blanco, honestly, as kind of the stalwarts and the guardians of tier 3. Of just saying, look, you guys are the hollies, like the real prime hollies that are not going to be aces. Like, we wanted to think that Framber Valdez was going to be an ace. Come on, guys. Watch a game of Framber Valdez and you just, you know, one time it looks like that pitch is great. One time it looks like it's terrible because it's just based on sinkers finding gloves or not. And it's frustrating. And Justin Steele, obviously had the rain and everything that probably messed him up. But he's been, I don't know, never really actually that like 105 whip, 3 ERA, 25-30% K rate guy. Like, he's never really hinted that. While Bailey Ober, yeah, the Bailey special is what, 6 innings, 200 runs, and 7 base runners with 6 or 7 Ks. Like, it's never that overly electric. So these are the ones that hold the fort. They are steady and ready, always there for you. And you're never going to drop them for your teams. So those are your happy campers. While Michael King plus
they're like 14. More like the counselors of camp.
Oh, I see. Yes, that's pretty good. Michael King is the one that I wanted to do this last week, and I should have, but I find it hard at times to make moves before they do the thing. And you know, I did with Ryan Pepe. I was like, no, I'm doing this because I actually think this is what it's going to be. And Michael King, I should have last week because honestly, I just see Michael King as like he is that dude of sliders and changeups and sinkers that are really good. Four seamer maybe isn't so great, but it's not terrible. And he's going to go six innings constantly for the Padres, have a 25% K rate. Like, this is going to be such a sturdy guy for you, I think, throughout the entire season. And I know it's been really tumultuous thus far for Michael King. Those are weird things to me. The real guy is the one you just saw against the Royals. Yeah, and he's pretty legit.
So I would venture to guess one of the more difficult placements here was Nathan Eovaldi re-entering the list as the, you know, if you're going through the list and you're not reading the notes, what are you doing? But you're going through the list and you're seeing all the colorful charts and the labels that you put on all the players. He's the only non-Holly in this list. What puts him at 41 in the middle of all these Hollies, and why couldn't you? He's like right, almost right in the middle of this tier as well. What was it about Eovaldi that had you putting him here as opposed to going up or down into a different
tier? Yeah, so I just forgot to hit the label for Holly because it's quality star bonus and injury risk, and that's on me. So no, with Nathan Eovaldi, it's kind of hard because he just came back from the IL, about 40 pitches, actually like 37 or something in that game. And we know he's going to be limited because this is essentially his rehab. Instead of going to the minors, he's just doing it in the majors. And that makes it kind of tough to be like, okay, do I go after this now? Or do I not? But how I treat guys who I imagine are just not on the wire, I say, right, you're holding this for a while. So I'm just kind of throwing out the next start in that way and thinking, look, like Nathan Eovaldi, this is where he is in tier four. People ask about, like, if Nick, you keep saying they're not rest of season rankings, but they are rest of season rankings. And the answer to that is part of the list is rest of season. Part of the list isn't. I would say roughly around, I'd say up to tier five, maybe tier six, but really like tier five, tier six. So like the top 60 or so, maybe top 50, top 60 are rest of season. Especially top 45, because that's me right now saying, look, I want these guys on my team. I don't expect to drop them. These are the part of the crew that I'm holding on my team and not dropping. However, after that, it's a complete wild west of just, right, a lot of these guys in tier seven and even tier six, you might be gone off your team in 2 weeks. And in that case, why would I make those rest of season rankings? I would say, no, that's a balance of what I get now versus potential that it could get versus just this 1 week and then drop, so on and so forth. And I've really taken to that throughout the entire list. But inside of that top 45, where Eovaldi is right now at 41, I'm treating that like a rest of season. So the next start being like, what, 55 pitches or something like that, 60 for Eovaldi, doesn't really matter to me. And I have him right around Rodon and Michael King because, yeah, we expect him to be solid, not really the most overwhelming, but just, yeah, solid guy with a little bit more injury risk than the others.
And then right in the middle of this tier, I'm going to make you talk about him before we move on, is Seth Lugo, moves up seven spots on the list overall. Kind of been riding what he's been doing all season. I hear you talking about it on Plus Pitch every single episode. Will this continue? And so you keep moving him up. Is it just more of a, you just feel like you don't have a choice but to move him up, or is this really how you feel about Seth Lugo?
I do not have a choice. I just don't have a choice. I mean, is slider going to have a 161 BABIP the entire year? No. Is his four seamer going to have a 189? No. It's not going to last. Is he going to have a 90% left on base rate? No. Is he going to have half the home run per fly ball rate that he's had his entire season? No. Like, all this stuff is just, it's no. However, he's killing it right now, and anyone that tells you that you are not going to be rostering Seth Lugo is just, of course you are. That plus seven isn't really, you know, there's like a plus five that everyone gets this week because there are a lot of removals. There was Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish and Zach Gallen and so on and so forth. But I guess there's only really like a couple ahead of Seth Lugo. It's fine. I had to lower Kikuchi and Wu and Cutter Crawford. So I think there's a lot of that reason for that jump. But Seth Lugo is just going to be there. I don't think he's going to be an ace, though.
All right. Is there anybody else in tier four you want to touch on before moving on to the 15?
I've taken so much time, and I actually do want to talk about tier five, but I'm going to do that after this break.
All right. Well, fine. We'll talk about tier five like you really wanted to, but you you needed that break.
To yeah,
really collect your thoughts.
I
was so upset
that I stole obviously. The ad break from him.
That was. I listen to this every week. And I'm like, oh, who's gonna get it? Who's gonna get it? I'm like, I told myself, I'm gonna get every single one, and no, uh-uh. No, Nick wouldn't allow it. It would not allow it. There'll be another opportunity. We'll see. but let's get into tier five then, Nick. We have starting at 45 overall, Walker Buehler, followed by Bryce Miller, Cutter Crawford, Tanner Bibee, Hunter Green, Nestor Cortez at 50, Brian Wu and Yusei Kikuchi rounded out at 51, 52 respectively. What is the name of this tier and why is it called that?
It's called the camping trip. And it's not going to camp. This is actually like a trip to the woods in a tent and everything. Because on principle, that sounds great. It sounds pretty cool. But there's always a moment when you're camping where you don't want to be there. Right? Every single time. Doesn't matter how much you love camping, all this kind of stuff. There's always one moment you're like, man, I wish I was just back home right now.
I just need to.
And I.
Yep.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So that's how it is. These are the cherry bomb guys. And you're excited for it. You like that you have them. There's always going to be a moment you're like, I don't really want to be here.
Yeah, it seems as though you did a really good job of putting these tiers together with like-minded repertoires and like-minded exposure to what you're going to get. These are the cherry bombs, like you mentioned. We got at the very bottom of the tier, moving Brian Wu and Yusei Kikuchi down 11 and 18 spots respectively. Where were they beforehand and what got them to jump all the way down into this cherry bomb tier?
Yeah, so Brian Wu is hurt, but not hurt, but hurt.
Right.
And then what is that? We don't know, man. We don't know. Okay? You're asking me? I don't know. Oh, my God. It drives me nuts. The manager says, yeah, you know, this week he was going through some arm stuff.
Stuff.
What? Yes. What? You mean stuff. The forearm thing? Obviously, his forearm thing. So you limited him to under 70 pitches. How is this okay? Is he okay? He's probably not okay. I mean, we've seen that blow over before, but I don't know. And then Kikuchi is very interesting because it's like four starts or so that he started to go, maybe I should be throwing my changeup more than the slider. At the very least, like the slider was just getting axed as far as its usage. But it was still at 88 to 89 miles per hour. And then he has his game that's super early in the morning, 11:35 a.m. I can't tell you how many people have told me, hey, Nick, hey, 11:35, early start for Kikuchi. The guy gets like 12, 14 hours of sleep, okay? He I don't know how he started that game, but he did. Velocity was down like three ticks across the board. Everyone's like, no. It's like Lucas Giolito, super early. All right, we got to hand wave that. I said, fine, we'll do that. But the slider was at 86. So then I don't really move him last time. I was like, I'm going to give him one. Then he has his recent start. This is against the Pirates, okay? Yusei Kikuchi does not throw his slider. He throws him like five of them or so. They're all at 86. But his other stuff is back up in velocity. And he's throwing changeups instead, which are worse than the slider. And it's terrible. And all I can think to myself is, what is up with this slider? Why is it slower? Why is he throwing it less? Why is he favoring this changeup? Because at the beginning of the season, Yusei Kikuchi threw one game with that new changeup and said, no, I'm done with this, and did the same thing they did last year instead, which is from June onward, he went fastball, well, four-seamer, curveball, slider, and it was amazing. And then he went, it was amazing. So what's going on? I don't know. I'm at a point that I actually almost lowered him more, but I decided, you know what? I'll give him one more game to be like, no, my slider's fine. It's here. It is at 88 miles per hour. I'm going to throw this more than changeup. I don't think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see the changeup curve and fastball. And it would sink so much is as fastball is actually like spotted better than usual. And it's flat and it should do all these great things. But now it's just with the changeup as opposed to the slider. And it's just, this is worse. So I don't know what to make of Kikuchi right now. I'm holding on for one more start just to see if he can fix it.
So as I mentioned, all these guys that are on this tier are all have the cherry bomb label. If I didn't mention it, I'm mentioning it now. You know, how does one get rid of this cherry bomb? And I'm really focusing here on Tanner Bibee, who's obviously moved up 7 spots. Yes, of course, there's some guys that came off the list and bumps everybody up a couple things. People still move down, right? Even though people left. So Bibee's still doing enough to impress you, to move you up. He's right in the middle of this cherry bomb tier. You know, I go through his game logs when I got to get the plug in for the new revamped game logs on the pitcher list player pages, because they're awesome. And yeah,
changed it this week, which is, and we actually put in a fix, I think, today for a couple of things, which is pretty great.
So you go through that and you notice, like, yeah, he's had, you know, he had 2 starts in the start of May, where he gave up 6 runs, 4 runs here or there. But overall, I feel like he hasn't really blown up in such a way where I feel like I was worried about his next start. What are you seeing out of Bibee? Are you expecting to lose that label anytime soon, or is that something you just think that's who he is?
So that's a good question. How does one lose the cherry bomb label? Essentially, become a cherry bomb if you have some innate issue. It's not just about always your results. I mean, results to me are a product of what your skills are. We don't always get that, which is why often my rankings are, believe it or not, they are not in order of ERA or WHIP or strikeouts. And it's all about, you know, it's all about the skills and what we expect those to really be. Obviously, you need to understand results at some point, because you can't just say it's only skills, but then those skills clearly aren't working and what's going on. But so obviously, my whole thing is an amalgamation of it all. And when it comes to all the guys right now in tier 5 with Walker Buehler to Kikuchi, all of them have issues that I need to see ironed out personally, because I think it's going to create volatility. It doesn't mean that they can't have success without addressing it. It just means that there are influences that are going to lower the probabilities of those successes arriving. So for Buehler, for example, he's completely lost when it comes to his approach. His stuff is amazing, still is. But he doesn't know where those pitches are going in a certain at bat. He doesn't really have a blueprint at the moment to really follow, and it's incredibly frustrating. Bryce Miller needs the secondaries to actually be a proper asset for what he's doing. Cutter Crawford, his 4-seamer is a little bit out of whack at the moment, and nothing's really taking the lead with him. Hunter Green, we know the Hunter Green story. Nestor Cortez is just kind of like, are you going to locate your 4-seamers? I don't know. This is weird, and is secondary stuff enough, and so on. So Tanner Bibee is someone who is a very interesting pitcher. I don't really think there's another guy like this, where his fastball is not very good, but he's kind of making it better. And he has 2 legitimate whiff pitches in his changeup and his slider. Those haven't been commanded well. That was actually what it was last year. If you remember last year, I was one of the detractors on Tanner Bibee because his fastball wasn't good. And the slider and the change just were not well spotted. And I felt like he was getting away with a lot. And I saw a lot of that this year. But he's made an adjustment, and you're actually going to see an article from Renee Decker talking about her interview with Tanner Bibee soon, which is, I'm really excited about that on the site. And Bibee goes into detail with some of the changes, specifically about release height, and that makes his 4-seamer better. And I do wonder if that is something that's going to stick or not. And I do wonder if Tanner Bibee has actually found a way to make his fastball not bad. And if it's just not bad, it just needs to be not detrimental. Like, if it's not that, that's actually okay, then he just needs really one of the changeup of the slider to really be all right in a given game, and then he's good. I don't know yet. And so hopefully Tanner Bibee can be that guy, but we've seen very many games of Tanner Bibee just getting hit with his fastball, and then his changeup and slider are like, oh, well, we are not really well commanded, so we fall into barrels. I hope he sheds the dreaded label and ranks much higher on the list in future weeks.
Let's keep in mind that the term cherry bomb has a positive attribute.
Right.
Cherry.
Be sweet in here. Give just bomb all the time. Then you're off the list, Kyle Harrison. No, I'm just kidding. No, Reed Detmers. I'm so sorry.
Well, let's move on to the next labeled tier, which is the Toby tier by design, I'm sure. This is tier 6, of course, on the list, starting at 53 with Marcus Stroman, followed by Christopher Sanchez, Jordan Hicks, Brian Bello, Jose Berrios, Gavin Stone, and Chris Bassett, closing it out at 59 overall. What summer activity to keep you busy is this, and why is it called that?
Sleep. Oh man, guys, it's summer vacation and you're just so happy you can finally just sleep. No, people forget, like school, I had to be at school at 8 o'clock. And I had to get to school, which means I had to leave at like 7:40 in the morning and then wake up. And so I had to wake up at like 7 o'clock every day. And I would be up to like midnight, one or whatever, you know, like I just want to sleep in. Oh my gosh. And it's, yeah, it's not exciting. It's not, you know, but whew, it's always there for you. Sleep.
Whenever you want it in the summertime.
Oh my gosh.
Whether you sleep in or sleep during the middle of the day, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's there.
It's there. Just it is boring, just like Toby's, but it, you know, it serves a purpose. So we see some guys moving into the Toby tier. Gavin Stone obviously stands out, moving up 20 spots. Christopher Sanchez moving up 11 spots. Did these guys earn their Toby label, or did they take the Toby label with them as they moved up?
I did a bit of a reshuffling of just this kind of tier and a couple others to make it so that, I mean, Christopher Sanchez really got the boom of minus five guys off the list.
Sure.
And Sanchez also was kind of at the bottom of this one, moved to the top of it, really. But Sanchez, I really debated putting into that fourth tier because he's throwing 96 in his last start, as opposed to like 94, as opposed to 92. That is, 92 was last year. 94 was the beginning of this year, and threw 96 in his last start. Whoa. I think Eno was mentioning that Christopher Sanchez, you know, there's a lot of worry about like, aren't you getting less movement now? You're throwing it harder with the sinker. He goes, yeah, but it's less time to react. I don't care. And we're like, yes, right. That's good. So, yeah, Christopher Sanchez throwing harder is very good. I just wanted to see him do that another start. Then I'll put him into the Holly tier. But Gavin Stone, as you mentioned, plus 20. So when we get to like 60 or so, the pluses and the minuses do not matter. They really don't, guys. The difference between like a tier seven guy and a streamer, it is a big deal because, hey, look, you've actually become something that might be more than a streamer. However, the actual number of it is, it could be 26, it could be 15, it could be five, whatever, does not matter. Because once really getting into that fifth tier, really the fourth tier is the one that matters. Everything below that is just kind of me shuffling through your options. So sixth is Toby's like, fine. You guys are like, a lot of teams are just going to have these on your team. And you're like, this is fine, whatever. But you don't really want to be stuck at the end of the year with this as on your team. You really want everyone to be in tier four and higher. But anyway, Gavin Stone, he's taking advantage of weak opponents. That's good. He's going to get challenged this week. I'm excited to see it. I wonder if he comes through.
Yeah, that you keep mentioning that idea of wanting to see guys be successful against good teams, kind of proving that they actually can handle themselves in any situation. You obviously want them to become opponent agnostic so that you can trust putting them out there. Even if exactly. They're going to be a Toby, you want to know that they're going to be consistent regardless of the opponent. So, excited to see what Gavin Stone can do against a tougher opponent moving forward. Are there any other Tobys worth talking about at this point?
Never. No, I mean, I don't know. Bayo needs to get his changeup back, but he should be in tier four, but he needs to get the changeup because now he has the slider working, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I think it's really important. You keep talking about it, but just knowing how the list is created, it's not a, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. It's, you know, these groupings of pitchers and they can move up quite a bit. And or down quite a bit based on just what they did and what they've shown you in their repertoire. Moving on then out of the Toby tier to tier seven, we've got another large grouping here of starting off with number 60, Mitch Keller, followed by Matt Waldron, Nick Lodolo, Ryan Weathers at 63, Jose Soriano, Tyler McGill, Hunter Brown, Taj Bradley at 67, Brady Singer, Cal Quantrill, and Andrew Heaney rounding it out at 70 overall. What summer activity keeping you busy is this, and why is it called that?
It's called the county fair, right? Because there's so many things that you feel are super interesting. You're like, oh man, I'm going to do this one, I'm going to do that one. But you might get scammed a lot, okay? And a lot of these things you might not really enjoy. You might feel like, oh, there really isn't much there, and oh, I don't have the money to do this thing that I'm just going to lose the money on. However, you're going to see a lot of it and just get so excited. Oh my gosh, Mitch Keller is actually having good command right now. he actually has good command. Matt Waldron has a knuckleball that's like the best knuckleball in ages. And he's gotten three straight starts of absolute dominance with it. He's going right now. I'm actually so curious if Matt Waldron's pulling this off. Do you know if he is right now? Please tell me he is. Matt Waldron is 3 Ks and 5.1 innings with one earned run. Attaboy. Attaboy, Matt Waldron against the Angels. I'll take it. Only 4 whiffs, though. That's honestly feels pretty lucky. He's probably not that good anymore. Anyway, I streamed him in the Legacy League.
That's all it takes.
Oh, boy. But anyway, stuff like that. Ryan Weathers, 4 straight starts now for him. Just took down the Rangers. And I say take down. It was 11 strikeouts, but it was 4 runs. Changeup was amazing there. I don't know if that's going to stick around. Tyler McGill, this was before today's start against the Nationals, which did not go too well. So, sorry, that's probably not going to last there. Andrew Heaney's doing his Blake Snell blueprint again. Taj Bradley is a cherry bomb, and I just don't want to deal with it. Like, I mean, it's so funny. Adam, were you in on the Taj Bradley machine?
Not at all.
Not at all. Why not?
I was not in that machine. No.
Why not?
I mean, I think it had a lot to do with just knowing how he was going to, or not knowing how he was going to be utilized, and then injury concerns in general. And just not sure if I could trust him throughout the course of the year. And if I wanted to draft him, I would have had to have drafted him in that capacity. Like your rule about having to have 4 guys that you trust in your draft.
He's not that.
That's where he was going. And it's just no.
Because his command is terrible. And it was so crazy. The first couple of starts were like 2 of his better starts of his career even. And I'm just watching this going, no. He just doesn't know. Every at bat, it's like 2 waste pitches are involved, and it's just no. So yeah, cherry bombs, Spice Girls, all that fun stuff. Hunter Brown had his best looking start I've seen in a long time from him. Cal Quantrill's here. I know, crazy. He just went against the Dodgers and did terribly bad with the Dodgers, and maybe the splitter actually is really the real deal. Is there anyone in here that you're like, no, I'm sold, Nick. I feel like this guy is legit.
I mean, Jose Soriano is somebody that I've just fell in love with over the course of the last couple of weeks.
Why does everyone hate him?
I know. It's the Angels. It's just the fact that he's on the Angels. And you can't help but, you know, be wary of somebody on that team and how they're going to be utilized based on the history. Yes. That's the only thing I can chalk it up to.
Yeah. All right. Well, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 2 straight starts of forward runs. I understand. And that's why he's a cherry bomb. But man, I don't know. It's actually kind of nuts. Like he goes 0 or 1 earned run or 4 earned run. That's all he's done this
either
year.
Either or. There's no.
I'm so sorry. There was 1-3. It was his second game of the year when he wasn't probably starting. It's so wild. 4 earned runs. 1-0-4-0-4-0-1-4-4. It's like you're getting binary code wrong, buddy. But anyway, yeah. Jose Soriano throws sinkers that are really hard. And then he has these curveballs too. It's almost like he's a Toby, but he's not. He's really just a big swing of cherry bomb. It's interesting.
Yeah, the name that stood out to me here was just biased is from my home league. Ryan Weathers had been streamed by pretty much every team in my league for the first couple weeks of the season. And finally, he got picked up by somebody using their waiver priority. And, you know, everybody's waiver priority works differently. But anyway, this was a big deal for this league, the fact that he utilized it for him. And then he put together 3 great starts and, you know, he looked like a genius. And then he goes out and gets, you know, gives up 4 runs in his start over the weekend. And he still moves up 11 spots. You touched on it just a second ago. But, you know, what was it about his repertoire and what he actually put forth, regardless of the fact that he gave up 4 runs and didn't actually help you with that in that start, per se, that still moves him up? That much? Is it just because a bunch of people came off the list? Or did you have ground to make up from previous starts?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a really good point. And I want to talk more about this after this break. I mean, here's the thing. 11 strikeouts against the Rangers is just like, what the heck? And it's the changeup being amazing. The changeup was just everything in this start. I don't know if Ryan Weathers is going to be able to have that effective of a changeup consistently. And I don't really think his four-seamer is that good. The Rangers are a solid offense still, and they were able to put up 4 runs, and they took advantage of certain things. There were some bad at-bats, some semi in this one. But yeah, Ryan Weathers, look, he moves up 11 because he's gone from essentially that different range of Vargas Rule that he was to more of the Cherry Bomb now. And hopefully he can keep it going. But I'm not super confident. It's a case where I have the Vargas Rule tag on him right now. But yeah, he's not someone I think is going to last the long term here.
All right. Anybody else in this tier worth spending any time on before we move into the little tiny baby tier?
Absolutely not.
Great. Tier 8, moving on to the baby tier here. We started off with number 71, Tyler Anderson, followed by Jake Irvin, Ben Lively, Javier Assad, and Jordan Montgomery, closing it out at 75th overall. What is this tier called and why is it called that?
This is called going to your grandparents' house. Oh. Right? I mean, I remember this so distinctly, like trying to find the one thing of entertainment at my grandparents' house. It's just like one thing. It's a house. It's got all this stuff and there's no game. There's maybe one like puzzle somewhere, or, you know, maybe they let you like go into that one TV channel that they had. It's absolutely wild. I mean, there's a top or something. Like, it's so just, okay.
It wasn't a toy. You weren't allowed to touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Oh, my God. We've all felt that. So what is it about going to your grandparents' house that made you think of this
group? I mean, these are Tobies. That's what I'm saying. Is it's just like, you got to do it. You got to go to your grandparents and you find the one thing to squeeze out of it. And here's the thing. I almost made 71 to the bottom all streamers. I do recognize that these five have a little bit more polish, or there's a little bit more of a twinkle with their names at the moment. So fine, I elevated them. I considered doing it too with Patrick Sandoval in here as well. Maybe some Spencer Schwellenbach. But no, these five, I feel people are going to covet them a little bit more.
Yeah, I think one who leads off the next tier, tier 9, is one that I probably would cover a little bit more just based on the schedule that he currently has in front of him for the next couple of weeks. And that is the top of tier 9 at 76, Spencer Aaron Getty.
We didn't even talk about the five names. They don't even know who they are.
No, but you just kind of talk.
Adam.
Rewind.
What are you doing, Adam?
Was this the first timer here?
Oh my gosh, Tyler Anderson, he's been on this run with his changeup, and I don't know if the four-seamer and cutter are going to support it. Okay, Jake Irvin, I watched that game, all of it. Okay, I watched all that Jake Irvin start. He's not that good. I've tried to really understand like how to articulate this that much. He threw competitive pitches constantly. Like, he didn't throw waste pitches, and I really feel as if I've dropped the ball creating a waste pitch stat. Because it's really something to be said. I keep talking about Taj Bradley. Like, how many of your pitches are just not really competitive or just really missing, I think, a ton of what you want to do, what you think your intent is? And Jake Irvin always was just kind of around where he's supposed to be. And that honestly has an impact. Ben Lively has been able to throw his four seamers upstairs effectively. This is not going to last, but hey, it is right now and the schedule's not so bad. Javier Assad has been a Vargas Rule for a while and he had two weird starts and now he had a better one. It's like, okay, fine. And then Jordan Montgomery, remember this guy? Oh man, I can't remember the last season I drafted Jordan Montgomery, but he had an amazing playoff run. Remember seeing some really high marks for Jordan Montgomery. I remember trying to figure out, is he a Toby, is he not? I also had the feeling of like putting Jordan Montgomery really low in my preseason rankings and feeling the ire of the community being like, no, he's six innings win guy, all this stuff, and just. No, he's so, he actually even threw a slider a couple starts ago. And I was like, whoa, maybe. And then it went away. Never it was like a good wind, you know, cold breeze on a hot day. And you're just praying for it to return and it never does.
Never to be heard from again.
Never. Okay, fine. Tier 9. Go ahead, Adam.
Thank you. All right. Tier 9. Again, at 76, Spencer Aaron Getty. At 77, Patrick Sandoval, followed by Michael Lorenzen, Spencer Schwellenbach, Brandon Pfaadt, Braxton Garrett, James Paxton's at 82, Eric Fede, Alec Marsh, Charlie Morton, Cooper Criswell, Jameson Taillon, Hogan Harris, and closing it out at 89 is Luis Medina. What is this grouping called, and why is it called that?
This is summer reading. Because you know, you gotta get it done. You gotta just, okay, I need to start this week, you know, and it's summer reading. You know, hopefully you can find that summer reading that you like. This is the one that you like, tier 9, the good summer reading. That's like, maybe you get to choose your own book as opposed to you have to read this one. I can't tell you, by the way, oh my gosh, Adam, I had no grasp on some of these books I had to read for class, of just why I was supposed to read them.
Read them? No.
Right? I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling to me that they would make, like, I do not have a developed prefrontal cortex yet. Okay? I am not going to understand the personal struggles nearly as much as I do as an adult now. And I just read it. I'm like, why? This is the worst plot in the world. I am so not interested in this. It's just pretty much, it reads to me like this happened, then this happened, then this happened. It's like someone telling me their day when nothing happens. They just stand there. Like, that's what it felt like reading some of these books as a kid with ADHD and not being diagnosed with it. Oh my gosh. And then sometimes you get really lucky and it's like, oh no, I actually like this book. Maybe-ish.
Maybe.
I'm actually trying to remember of a summer reading book that I was like, oh my gosh, I love this.
Yeah, my daughter is going through that right now. And, you know, she's doing a summer reading program. But our local library has a great little program where they can win prizes for actually reading. It's like going to the arcade and playing all the arcade games and then passing in your tickets for that little tiny stuffed animal or the pencil eraser or whatever.
That's really cool.
So that's fun. So you can work your way to it. And if you're using, you know, you're reading enough books and you get enough time in there, maybe you're rewarded with a pencil eraser. Right. And that's, I feel like that is the equivalent to what's going on in this tier, where you're going to end up having to use a lot of these pictures in order to get the pencil eraser.
That's really, I love that so much. I just want to make sure this is clear. There are so many great books and everything.
It's just not the ones you read.
It's just, there's something about this disconnect when you're a kid of, especially for me, it was really hard to read just because like I had ADHD and just focusing on it all, and I couldn't really absorb it. And there are all these books I did like. It's just, I was never given ones that I liked. And it was, it just felt like torture. They just did this to torture me is what it always felt like. You know, I remember I had to read A Night to Remember about the Titanic. And it was just such a slog to get through like these diaries of the experiences on the Titanic. And it was just so like, oh, why are you making me do this? You know, anyway, why are you making me start Cooper Criswell, Nick? Well, actually, he's not so bad. Okay, he goes against the Tigers this week. That should be fine. Throw sinkers and changeups down. I mean, this is what it is. With all these guys, for the most part, it's just, hey, they have a decent start ahead of them. Eric Fetty's a little different. Eric Fetty's actually kind of goodish, but I feel like he can actually skills his way through a little bit more matchups. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, it's not that great, though, so don't worry. The interesting ones, Spencer Schwellenbach through 96, and he has a cutter that is at like 91. I think it's really good against lefty, except for the one he threw to Joey Gallo, which was terrible. And even he hit that one. Oh my gosh. He's got a good slider against right-handers too. I like that. We have Hogan Harris throwing like ridiculous IVB four-seamers out of nowhere. We're talking like 17 to 18 inches of IVB as opposed to like 15 and change. And 15 and change is pretty average, and that's what he threw last year. And it was 17 to 18 now. I'm like, what? That's crazy. And Luis Medina, I just did a video on him. He's chaotic. He's all over the place. And it worked against Atlanta, but it is not consistent. Oh my gosh. If you want to talk about those waste pitch things, it's just not there. But maybe it was the first start back, coming back from the IL. He used to throw like 100 at times. So I don't know. Maybe that's all right. We'll see. Jameson Tynion gets the White Sox, so we'll see. I mean, if you're searching for the waiver wire, just like check out these guys. Okay, cool. Great.
Yeah. These are all your streamer options in general. As I tried to start it off and failed miserably, Spencer Arrighetti was the one that really stood out to me as far as having the potential, if nothing else, just because of the streaming opportunity he has for the next couple starts.
Yeah, what are those?
Oh, that's a good question. I wish you...
Right? I mean, I know it's Seattle next. And the thing is, Arrighetti throws a four-seamer up in the zone. He tries to. amazing shape across the board. The best comp I have to that is Zach Wheeler. He just needs to throw it upstairs properly. And the thing is, Argetti actually has solid secondaries in his cutter and his curveball as well. So as long as he throws that four seamer in the zone properly, and not like down in the zone, like actually up in the zone, Argetti could be amazing. And it's also the Astros. They are waking up as far as their offense goes. I feel bad for Kyle Tucker, though, taking a ball off his shin.
Oh, geez.
He's okay. Yep. But yeah, that could be something. And yeah, as you mentioned, Seattle is next on the docket for Argetti, and that's why he's at the top.
St. Louis is after. No, St. Louis is on Wednesday, and then he should get a double tap following week at San Francisco, and then with hosting Detroit. And if he gets pushed back for any reason against Detroit, he would get at the White Sox.
Why do you think Seattle? Sorry, why do I think Seattle? I don't know. It's just in my head. Well, anyway, St. Louis is good too.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to that at all.
Now, there's a chance that Christian Javier returns next week. And it pushes out Spencer Arrighetti. So keep that in mind. But if he doesn't, it's Spencer Arrighetti.
Is it, you know, in that situation, very specific situation, are you more worried that Aaron Gotti gets sent down or gets moved into the bullpen?
I don't know. I think he'd be sent to AAA instead.
I tend to agree, but I feel like we've already thought he would have gotten sent down by now, and he's
well, it's just injuries that happened, right? Yeah. We've got Javier injured. We had Blanco miss for a moment. We had Framber for a second. We have Hunter Brown being very bad. With Hunter Brown kind of looking good right now, you got to think that Hunter Brown sticks.
Fair enough. All right. Anybody else? Any of the other streamers worth mentioning or talking more about?
Inside of Tier 9, no.
All right, then it gives us the opportunity to move on to tier 10, the final tier here, closing us out 90 through 100. At 90 is Simeon Woods Richardson, followed by Joey Estes, Albert Suarez, Dane Dunning, Cole Irvin, Mitch Spence, Luis Severino, JP Sears at 97, Andre Pallante, Zach Littell, and then Adam Mazur gets number 100. What is the name of this final tier and why is it called that?
It's getting a job. You know, because you're not going to enjoy it, but you're getting value out of it. And this is that tier of like you need something. Some of these guys, hey, Dane Dunning's getting Detroit. Okay, Mitch Spence is getting Seattle. There it is. Got it. You know, JP Sears and Andre Pallante, maybe there's something there. Pallante against the Astros first, of course, right? Against the Cardinals. I know this. But then getting a decent start on the other side of it, and that could actually be a stream that people target on Sunday. Adam Mazur is getting the call for the Padres on Tuesday. I don't know how great he is. It's 95 on the fastball, not getting a ton of whiffs lately. The last two starts, it looks kind of pedestrian as far as electricity goes. He looks like more of a command guy with cutters and sliders, landing glove side as a lefty. But maybe there's something here. I don't know. Not really a major fan of it, but if you want to spec Adam, by all Johns, go ahead.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Albert Suarez kind of stands out just the fact that, you know, he found his way back into that rotation and he's obviously on a good team with a good win opportunity. But I understand that this is, you know, not a repertoire that you would necessarily expect to succeed throughout the course of the year, but can he continue to kind of push forward in the short term?
You know, everybody laughed when I freaked out about Albert Suarez in spring. Everybody's like, oh, Nick's going crazy on. I mean, no, Albert Suarez right now is in a good situation. As you mentioned, he still throws those four seamers at 95 up in the zone, right? He's gotten multiple whiffs on them. And he had 10 whiffs, I think, on it last time. It's pretty much what we saw in the spring. And he kind of kept it up for two straight. It's just secondaries aren't good. So I believe he gets the Jays this week on Wednesday. And there's a chance that Dean Kramer returns on Monday. If he doesn't, it doesn't seem like he is, but roster resources suggest that it could. Let's say he doesn't. That would be Albert Suarez. And that's against the Rays, and maybe he can continue it there. So an interesting pick up there for Albert Suarez, but again, it's very susceptible to a low floor and a lot of damage, and he's not really an efficient pitcher. So I'd be a little cautious, of course, with Albert Suarez.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, I have a soft spot for Simeon Woods Richardson just because, again, in my home dynasty league, I've had him for a long time. And I want him to be more than he is.
Yeah, that's not fair to him.
No, it's not. He doesn't know that's my feelings about him. So I feel okay about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, can he become more than he currently really is?
I mean, I don't know. He is what he is right now. Hopefully he can be more, right? It's kind of funny how Simeon Woods Richardson a week ago did the Anthony Descafani, is what I call it, where Lorenzen did it for a moment last year, where you just throw sliders in the middle of the plate and you just go, please hit it, or please don't do anything strong with this, and then dot everything else, but just like, here's 20 million sliders. And then he didn't do it. He actually had decent pitch separation his last time, but it didn't go so well. He gets the Pirates this week. Okay, hopefully that can be good. Simeon Woods Richardson is at his best when his command is on point, and we see it every so often. Maybe he can do that with that slider approach and actually be something, but I don't think the Twins even let him go very deep into games. I don't think they like seeing the third lineup for him. Twins have been known to do that with certain pitchers, and I feel like Simeon Woods Richardson's getting that same treatment, which doesn't make me a huge fan of rostering Simeon Woods Richardson.
Yeah, it seems like they do that with most pitchers. Maybe not just certain pitchers.
Like Ober, Ryan, and Lopez kind of get the okay, but sometimes Ober just gets pulled anyway too.
I mean, Ober had to earn that. He was one of those pitchers at one point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's, you know, 11 guys in this tier. Is there anybody else you want to finish us off with, or, you know, are we done for the day?
Look, I put in Zach Littell. Okay, guys, I don't like him. Don't start him against the Orioles, but like, if you feel like he should be in that Toby tier, then fine. I put him at 99 just for you.
He's not worth the 100 label, you know, but he's still
100 label is always an interesting guy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Zach Littell, not interesting. Adam Azer. Yeah. You know, he left CBS to become a pitcher for the Padres.
Absolutely. What happened? All right. Well, that closes out the most updated version of the list. Nick, what else is going on in your world worth closing us out with?
I mean, you mentioned it before, guys. We updated our game logs. We made the strikes and plots look nicer, but we made it so that the game log is super fast now. There might be some small little bugs we're squashing with it when it comes to, like, I think K percentage and walk percentage for the totals are a little bit off because there's a whole total batter's face bug going on. But when it comes to looking up pitch usage and everything inside those game logs, it's amazing. We added an extra tab inside of the game details, like open a game row, and you can look at all the individual things, including stuff now for individual pitches. So really, it's incredible. Our game logs, they're unparalleled in the industry. And if you're not game log hunting through our game log on the player pages, which by the way, have my roundups written inside of it, you're doing it wrong.
And career game logs as well.
Oh yeah. Oh gosh. Right. Yes. We added multiple seasons.
That's amazing.
We you can go back and look at my stupid roundups over the years. But no, we actually hadn't had that. We didn't have previous seasons, and now we do, which is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an incredible tool. If you're not using it, you're probably doing it wrong, or at least you're losing an advantage that you could be having.
There we go.
There we go. Well, Nick, that is that's it. For this week's the episode 459. You've done quite a fair bit of these over the years. Gonna hit up 500 sooner or later this year. You imagine
I can get Alex Fast back for that just for a moment.
You do a whole slew of of course, obviously Alex needs to be involved in that, but we'll cross that bridge as we get a little closer. But that is gonna wrap it up for episode 459 of On the Corner, the official podcast of pitcherlist.com. Today I was your host, Adam Howe, the Brownie, and that was my high school mascot.
Is that right?
So there.
Wow. I am Nick Pollock, the Lion,
and I am going to figure out exactly what a brownie is, and I still don't know.